Hello, everyone. You're listening to Children Chatting with Authors. Today, we're going to be joined by author and illustrator Rashad Doucette and author Jason Rivas of the book Pax Samson, The Cookout.
My name is Theron. Question is, was the book related to you or your family?
Oh, yes. Both of our families, to some degree, but it was when I came up with the idea before me and Jason started working on it together. It was definitely based on my people in my family, my uncles, my cousins, my grandma in particular, and grandma and grandpa Samson are directly related to my actual grandparents, more so than the rest of the characters in the book. But yeah, so short answer, yes, Grandma Samson is like my grandma with superpowers. She's the reason why I draw comics and reason why, you know, she introduced me, she used to read me bedtime stories or superhero stuff and always encouraged me to keep drawing when she was here. So she's all, I wanted to always turn her into a superhero because I wouldn't even be doing this if she, you know, wasn't there to get me started on this path. Always encouraged me, no matter the ups or the downs, just always said, you could do this. She never told me I couldn't. So I want to make her that character in the book a lot.
No, I'm always keeping like my nieces and nephews in mind when we're writing. And, you know, my son has me bopping around here like a young person. So I'm always like watching him and trying to see like, what do kids do in these situations? So yeah, no, totally family related. Because it's a huge, Pax has a huge family, a lot of different personalities. And we're definitely drawn from real life, especially for like Pinnacle and Chimera. Like we're always observing our family members and like putting their traits into those characters.
Like Uncle Magic is directly related on one of my uncles. Jason knows the stories of my uncle, but he is definitely this bear. Like my uncles, they were my great uncles actually. Like, but they were just such a big part of my childhood and just always around and always got new adventures and stuff going on, eating and just coming in. Like you know, Uncle Magic is heavily based on two or three of my uncles merged together, but they were definitely a big part of growing up.
Dudes that just have a good time with life,
you know, yeah, like,
exactly. Whatever's going on,
whatever's they always going have on,
like a joke. Yeah, it's very family oriented. The book we wanted to portray like huge, like this huge generational family, that kind of lifts each other up. You know, like grandma is the head. And, you know, mom and dad, you know, and their sisters and brothers, like this family is pulling everybody up into like the family business, which is superheroing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's you don't get to see that in superhero books, like superhero OGN. So I was like, man, we're on to something here. Like, this is going to be something cool. Like, there's always been superhero teams, the Justice League and Avengers and what have you. But like as a family, like they're all blood. I just thought there was something really cool about us doing that.
Thank you, Theron. That's a good question.
Thank you for answering.
My name is Lauren, and I want to know, how did you work together to create this book?
Good question, Lauren. So Rashad kind of conceived of the idea first. And I run a publishing company myself called 133 Art Publishing. And when we first got together, you know, well, first got to run it back. Rashad and I have been best friends for like years. We're both from Louisiana, and we met in a comic shop, the typical nerd love story. And we've been friends for like 20 years. Yes. So, we've been kind of running parallel in our careers, from freelancers to professor, freelancer to publisher, blah, blah, blah. So we've always wanted to really work together on a project. So when Rashad conceived the Pax, he was like, yo, really cool story, but I just want to get this particular story out of me. And I was like, whatever you do, I'll publish it. Let's go. So we started kind of collaborating on Pax. And we talked to a couple editors and at different companies. We talked to Joe Illich, and he kind of gave us an in at what was before Lion's Forge. Now it's like Lion Forge and Oni kind of combined. And once that kind of happened, then we decided to kind of become partners on PAX. Mm-hmm. So our process is Rashad comes up with like his ideas. I come up with like my ideas on the back end. And then we kind of Voltron form up to kind of figure out, you know, and edit ourselves.
Yeah.
It takes a few conversations to get a outline started. And then once we get an outline started, a couple more conversations, then we get a script going and we both script doctor each other. So like he throws out ideas, I'll do some writing. He'll come over that and do some writing. And, you know, after a couple back and forths, then we send it to our editor and we're out.
And then we have to do it again with the editor.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's the process. Yeah.
When you have your conversations, do you do it over Zoom like this so you can share your screen and look over together? How do you have those conversations?
It's just a phone calls.
Usually I like do a few miles in the park in the mornings just to kind of get my morning exercise before work. So I'll call him up and if he's available, you know, on a non-school day or whatever, we'll just hash it out during that time, like for a couple hours. And if we do that like 3 to 5 times a week, we can get done with a script pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Back and forth, you know, really like best friends do. I mean, we don't have to do it on Zoom because we talk on the phone all the time anyway. Yeah. So, you know, we're doing that anyway. You know, yeah. One of our things has always been kind of coming up with comic stories, right?
We're
always, even before we were professionals, we would just be like, wouldn't it be cool if this happened in this story? So, you know, it's just an extension of our friendship.
A big part of our process and come with ideas is like watching the stories and reading the stories we like, and we like every genre there is. So going over that, and then like, you know, going back and forth with each other about, oh, hey, it would have been cool if we did this version of, if they did this in a story. It's like we've self-taught each other storytelling, I feel like, over the years, from just having these conversations about what work and doesn't work in a story and why is this way, and like answering these questions from other people's stories helped us really easy transition into writing our own story together. Yeah.
It's our own little book club.
Yeah, with two people in it. Two people in our book club.
Yeah, just
this isn't really about like the book, mm-hmm. but how did you guys start writing and painting
coloring?
It's
okay, you're good there. For me, it was going back to my grandma's. She's making me draw to keep quiet in church. So I was a chatterbox and I had all these ideas apparently. And so my grandma would have me just draw it out. She's like, well, just draw it out. And as I got older, she'd give me every Friday. I look forward to these Fridays after the end of the school week, because every Friday she'd give me a new notebook. She'd give me a pack of crayons. And she was like, just take the weekend and just draw all that stuff you were telling me. Just write it. So I used to write before I drew. Like, I'd draw characters, but before I started drawing characters, I used to write all these things down. I'd just write stories down in paragraph form and just write all these ideas out. And she's like, well, you just should just do that. Like, you just take the whole weekend, fill this notebook up, and just draw all the characters you can. And I just got in the rhythm of doing that. And I was always nervous about drawing comics, but as I got older and I got into high school, I started leaning more to drawing in comics. By the time I met Jason, right after high school, college time, I was already into drawing comics. But it took a while. At first, I was too scared. So I'd write it, and then I would draw the characters. And then eventually, I got into like doing the panels and the boxes and all that. It took a while for me to feel comfortable doing that. Before, it was just writing and drawing whatever I could.
Now, for me, as long as I can remember, I've been like infatuated with like superheroes and like just the idea that somebody can swoop down and save you at a time of peril or, you know, hardship or whatever, just has always been fascinating to me. So I can remember being as young as 3 years old and like sitting at the table, you know, doodling like Superman. Like, I love the colors of superheroes too. I love the whole vibe of it. So as I got older, like in class, when we were in like third grade, we would do challenges, and like every kid that could draw or that wanted to draw, we would take our favorite movies or comic books or TV shows, like cartoon shows, and we would make a comic out of that. And we would have rivals. There was this one guy, Michael, who was like the best artist. And then I would like challenge him to like a draw off, you know, and we'd do like a 5-page comic or something like that. And as I got into like high school, I think I finally decided as a teenager, like, I want to draw comics for a living. And I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I would buy comics from the shop, and I would just pore over them. And then I would write my own stories, and I'd have like notebooks filled with comics, you know, and characters and stuff like that. So I just kept doing it. And once I moved from New Orleans to Portland, after like Hurricane Katrina, I met an illustrator who, he didn't do comics, but he was an illustrator who did that freelance for a living. And I'm a visual learner and a hands-on learner. So sort of being his apprentice really taught me how to manage the business part of it. And I applied it to comics moving forward, and I created 133 Art and produced my own stuff. So it's been a long journey, but I started at the kitchen table, you know, but sitting next to my mom, she's on the phone, and I'm just drawing.
Draw on the walls. This is drawing the walls and getting covered. So don't draw on the walls. And that's why she gave me notebooks.
Always get a notebook.
Why did you feature certain gods in your story, like Odin and then Yemoja, who gave Grandma Samson her powers? Why did you feature those certain gods?
Well, the goal was to try to, like, we wanted some familiarity with certain things. And the Norse gods are always around, and we have a lot of familiarity with them. And we wanted to represent that in a way that way. But at the same time, we want to give spotlight to African deities that don't always get that kind of attention in Western culture. So I thought it was nice to we dug up Yemoja because it fit with Grandma really well. Like, I feel like their connection, that this Mother Earth goddess kind of thing, is very much what Grandma is. And I thought it would be the perfect person to imbue power, because we see so many stories like male figures getting imbued by other male figures as well. And I thought it'd be nice to have like a female figure, also this matriarch, getting viewed by another leader of other deities. The rest of these we kind of just hodgepodge and made up, but those particular we wanted to make sure that they, you know, represented things that you were familiar with, and then things that not. And also, I wanted to make Odin a bad guy, because I like Viking stuff too. But that's all I wanted to punch Odin in the face, because I thought it'd be cool. But other than that, you know, that's kind of where we were going with that.
Yeah, representation is one of our goals, you know. Like earlier I was talking about, you know, having the family representation hasn't been really done, but also like in terms of like the different characters, like Yemoja is kind of represents African and minority deities that we don't get to see. So, I mean, how cool is it to explore a new universe of like deity, you know, a new universe of God? So that was the impetus behind that. We were like, man, we have an opportunity to like explore the vastness of like human mythology. So why just pigeonhole it, you know?
So I love PAX. When you have your readers reading your book, what do you want them to get out of Pax Samson and just his character traits? Like, even how brave he was to apologize to Grandma Samson later in the story. That takes courage. So when you have your readers reading your work, what do you hope they get out of it, especially from Pax Samson himself?
With Pax, it was a goal of making a little kid hero who... He wasn't, he's not there yet. And I wanted, that's what I wanted kids to relate to. Like, I mean, we have a lot of action heroes that we see all the time, and like the Avengers, like the big mainstream guys, and they're pretty much into it. Like even Cap, like gets some powers, he's got it, you know. And Pax is more on that line of like he's not sure, but even though his family's really good at it. But I didn't want to make him not good at things. So like he's still very good at his cooking skills, and he's learned a lot about how to relate to people through cooking skills, right? And so, and he's grew up with this family this way, so he's taking a lot of information in. And I wanted kids to know that, like, you know, you may not always be at first the best at something, even though you're good at one other thing, you want to be good at this other thing. And Pax is one of the first, like, I want to be good at this other thing too. And that should I know, and even when you're an adult, like, you're like, what should I focus on? And I wanted Pax to kind of go through that journey of like, well, you can do both. You can get better at the other thing, right? You just keep working hard. You get up after you fall, you get up, you try again, Pax is like early on, like you see him, just he falls, he gets up, he gets scared, he goes through all those emotions because he's not there yet. Like came so natural for some of the rest of the members in his family, like his cousins and things, his sister. But for him, it took a little work on that end. But at the same time, the skills he learned for being not always as good as the rest or being not as powerful as them or skilled as them is going to help him be the thing that they need in that world to help. So those other skills you learn when you're doing what you know how to do, you can bring a fresh take to the superhero world in their case. And like what grandma doesn't see, as great as grandma is at what she does and been doing it for so long, Pax will give a slightly different perspective. So when they clash like that, it's because Pax still figuring out how to do that perspective properly. Like he's still trying to figure out how he can go his own way without overstepping or being wrong about it. And he's learning that as he learns. He's going to be the thing that the next step, like grandma's looking for that. She says in the first book, I'm looking to get out of this game. And so like, Pax is inadvertently going to be the step, not her sons or not her, you know, it's a grandkid in this case. He's going to lead everybody with his nature of like, you know, learning how to communicate and love in his own way because he's a loving dude. He wanted a dude who was loving. I wanted a dude who just wasn't perfect action hero yet. Like, I didn't want that for him at the beginning. Like, I wanted to avoid it. As much as I like doing it, I wanted to avoid it. So, yeah,
he's totally not fully formed at all. And I mean, he's a kid, so he doesn't have to be, right? Like his circumstances hadn't before, like the conflict in the story caused him. He didn't have to be fully formed as a superhero or whatever. And I feel like he's kind of highlighting the path less traveled, in a sense, like his cooking informs him being how he's going to be a superhero, right? The best thing he can do informs the thing that he might not be so great at. But also in, you know, like Rashad said, the things that you learned because you weren't the best, a lot of times help you be the best at, you know, that very thing, you know, mm-hmm. in a different way though. Mm-hmm. You know, his path of being a cook and learning how to be a chef and being maybe not so aggressive as the other heroes is actually teaching him how to be a better superhero. And that was a cool, interesting thing that Rashad came up with. Like, I'm usually like, let's go, Captain America. But Rashad was like, maybe this dude is not there yet. And it's okay to explore that. And I was like, you know, you're onto something. You're onto something, guy. You know, okay. So yeah, I think because Pax is a less aggressive, like a softer version, maybe he's better at bringing people together, and that might be more needed than just punching Odin in the face. You know,
yeah.
You think it was a generational because Pax Samson's parents are so supportive, and they just go with the flow with Pax. They don't force him into anything. But Grandma Samson and his aunt, like, they're like, do you think it was a generational portrayal?
I think so. I think, and I think it works like that in a lot of families where you have, you know, if we're talking like family businesses, you have maybe the grandparents who start the store or the restaurant or whatever. And they're like, they're really, because they started it, they know the business and they know how important it is to the family structure. And as you go down the line, you know, there might be people who are less gung-ho about it. And then you get down to like a third generation and there's like a choice. You know, they talk a lot about farming communities and farming families where they lose the farm sometimes because that last generation has no interest in it. And it's because sometimes it's because of the opposite way that the generations sort of interact with each other. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here in PAX is like, just because my grandparents decided that this is a thing we're good at doesn't necessarily have to inform our future. You know, it's a discussion. It's not a given.
Also, mom and, you know, in particular, dad and mom, like, they came up in a time where, like, they were kid heroes at one point, you know? So they, especially dad, like, he grew up with grandma. And, like, he, you know, he knows that the path that it is. So that's why they're so supportive, because they know how hard it might be to make that decision when they might not have had that opportunity. It was a different time, and grandma needed that backup. So they might not have been able to make the decisions PAX made. That's why they were talking to him about keeping secret identities or just keeping space away from it. But he thinks it's silly because he grew up in it. But it's because they've helped pave the way in their own way. So when it got to him, he could really make that choice. He could chose to never be a superhero. That wasn't something that had to happen. And they went through the things in their own way. One, I wish we could really get more to the parent. I have a whole thing with especially Alpha Man. But it's just that they are thinking about it. They went through it and they know what to help, what they needed to hear when they were that age, like, and like going through what he was going through. And at least they've given him the option to make a choice about it, whereas they might not have had those options at the time.
Why did you give Pac Samson the power of telepathy and the Psi Sword?
telepathic powers, telekinesis powers, this is my favorite set of powers for me being an old X-Men fan. Jean Grey pink energy, there's an old cat named Psylocke, she had the energy swords and telekinetic energy swords, and that's where all that stuff comes from. My love of like 90s comics I read when I was a kid. Those power sets are cool because you can move things with your mind, you do all these cool things with telekinesis and telepathy. And the telepathy part with PAX is more of him learning how to communicate in a way that might not be, you know, like he's not going to use telepathy to mind control, it's not really his thing. So it's more about seeing how he can empathetically relate to people with that telepathy. Like he can take them to that realm and just talk to them about it, or talk to animals, which he does. And that was like learn an animal story. And it's just like, oh, okay, this is how I can help this situation. Once again, it ties into his nature, whether he realizes fully or yet or not, that he can relate to people and help them in different ways. Maybe solve a problem that may not always need an action solution, you know? So it will often lead to that, because I want to draw that. But at the same time, it's just one of those things where, you know, the telepathy kind of serves the story. And the sword is because I like 90s X-Men comics.
I think his telepathy and his telekinesis also sort of inform the job that he likes, like being able to infuse that empathy into your cooking, you know, and ingredients floating around you. You don't have to go back and forth to the fridge and stuff like that. It really, when Rashad was like, this is what we're going to make him be able to do, I was like, oh, well, that works with him being a chef. Like that totally works. So he uses his abilities and he's really good at making the best meal for you. You know,
he's definitely good at that.
He's really intuitive about that. And like Rashad said, that's how he relates to people, you know. So I think that's really cool. Like it worked out that his powers work with his abilities, his skills.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, buddy. Thank you for reading the book, friend. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Children Chatting with Authors podcast.